Good morning, family. I am really, really at home this morning because there's a lot of familiar faces. I can go around here and just greet all the faces that I know. Because it's family, because I'm at home, can I not be a guest speaker? Can I just drop my hair, not that I've got hair, and just say, good to see you, Dr. Tiam and Olivia. It's good to see you. Joburg needs you. Not that you should go back to Joburg. Mary, so good to see you. I'm glad you're here and with your friends. But you don't have to come to Joburg. I know you love it here. And Renette, so good to see you. Wow, Joburg really misses you. She used to minister on the streets of Joburg where no one goes in Hillbro. I mean, let's give that hair a round of applause. Well done, Anne Renette. Whoa, man. I feel like I'm missing some people. I'm getting old. My eyes don't look so good anymore. Faith, so good to see you. And Ben, thank you for serving. Really appreciate you guys. You are really family. Let's give them a round of applause. Wow. This family, they have been such a blessing to us. Thank you for who you have been to us. Thank you for your prayers and continuing to pray for us, even from a distance. I want to catch everyone. Man, okay, if I missed you, I will greet you after the service. But thank you for being family to me. And Pia and Helena, thank you for being friends to us. Indeed, we've been through a lot together. Can we just give them a round of applause? What an amazing, amazing family they are. I mean, I can share so much about this church and how we've journeyed together, prayed together with Pierre. I have been praying for your venue. So I like hearing the miracles that God is doing here at Every Nation Helderberg. I'm so grateful. I've got a picture of my family. I don't know if you're able to load it or you're not able to load it. That's fine. You just have to believe that I am married. I only thought about it as I was driving here that I forgot to load a picture of my family. But anyway, I'm married to Lindy. This year we celebrate 24 years of being married. 24 years. We've got three beautiful children. Our son, Limo, is 20, turning 21 today. This year. Sometime this year. 16th of October, he started driving, so it's so good to have a chauffeur. He drove me to the airport on Friday. It feels so good to not have to drive. My two daughters, Zinzi is 17 and Rory is 13. Rory is one who keeps me on my toes. There's always that one in the family. She is amazing. She is incredible. But before we go to the word, it gives me joy that we get to pray for those who are going to plant a church. So I'm going to ask Mario and Tesha to come with your family, come to the front. Pierre and the leadership team, please come and join us here as we pray for this family. I have a scripture that I'm going to read. For this couple, and read as we charge you, as we commission you, come stand up here. It is based on 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm reading to verse 5. Can I ask the congregation to stand as we charge this couple? As you get ready to go plant at St. Laurie's Pass, we're so excited that we can stand with you and pray with you. And we believe that the best hope for the nation is to plant a church, is to see lives transformed. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Isn't it interesting that it's happening today? People will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, Always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. Amen. The words that I want you to remember from this text is preach the word. Preach the word of God. Preach the word. That is the one thing that will keep the church going to where God wants it to be. Nothing else but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray for this couple. Father, we thank you for this incredible couple. Thank you, Lord God, that they've raised their hands to be part of what you're doing in this city, Father God. Thank you that you've called them for such a time as this, Father. As we charge them, we commission them, and we say to them that they will preach the word. They will teach the truth of the word and the gospel that transforms lives, that changes lives. And Father, we see in the Spirit right now that you're bringing men and women around them who will uplift their hands, that they will not feel the weight alone. They will not carry the weight alone. Father, you're going to bring men and women who are passionate about this vision, about this call to make disciples, Father God. And Lord, they will build together. Today, as we charge them, as we commission them, Father, we remember the words of Apostle Paul when he said to Timothy, "Fan into flame the gifts that God has put in you. Fan into flame the gifts he's put in." And he continues to say, wage war with the prophecies that have been spoken over your lives. There's been prophecies that have been spoken over your lives. This is just the beginning. I see in the Spirit that it's not just going to be Solaris Pass. There's going to be more church plants that are going to come out of you. You're going to be raising young men and women who are going to go to the nations. We thank you, O Lord, that you've called them for such a time as this.
Yes, Lord, as we get to take a moment to pray with our apostolic leadership for this project, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have been faithful all the way to this point. Lord, and even as we look towards your faithfulness for the future, I pray for Mario, for Tasha, for Phoebe, that you would continue to show yourself faithful to them, Lord. I pray particularly today for a new faith in their hearts. Lord, through leading through difficult moments and long seasons of holding on to the promise, I pray today, Father, that there would be a fruition of a promise coming in, Father, that they would stand in awe of the miracles that you do in front of their own eyes that they didn't even ask for, think, or imagine, because you are the God who's leading this and going before them. Lord, as we embark on this journey together over the next few months until that time, Lord, where this is launched, may they continue to hear your voice. And may you continue to speak to us as a congregation on how we together can launch and build this church for the glory of your name. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Wow. As I said that I thought I will meet some people, I know that Aunt Gerd is not here, but Philippa, so good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Is that Dominique? That can't be. When you left Joburg, you were this little. So good to see you, Dom. And the Alexander family, always family to us. Amanda, love and appreciate you guys so much. So our word today is from Luke 19. If you can open with me there. Luke chapter 19. We're looking at the story of Zacchaeus. And please bear with me because I come from Potchefstroom. So my English is mixed with Afrikaans and Setswana. So if I start saying Zakayo, please understand. Zacchaeus is for you guys, but for me, I will say Zakayo from where I come from, Potchefstroom. So as we read the text this morning, I am so grateful to the Lord for this series that you're doing now. I got to watch Pierre preaching the word, you know, when you started the series. I like those words, uncomfortably close. Jesus comes uncomfortably close to us. And we see a great example of this, of how Jesus comes uncomfortably close to us. But I've coined the sermon for this morning, Jesus invades our private space for our good. Jesus invades our private spaces for our good. You know, I think for some of us, you know, we're thinking that when Jesus comes close, you know, it's going to just be great. It's not always great, but it is for our good. it is for our good. I'm glad that Jesus came uncomfortably close to my life, because I will not be standing where I'm standing today if Jesus did not come uncomfortably close to my life. My life was going in a particular trajectory, and Jesus came. He changed my life, and I'm standing here today. I think I would have been dead if Jesus did not come uncomfortably close to me. Let's read from verse 1. I'm reading Luke chapter 19 in the ESV. It's also on the screen. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came and received him with joyful heart, or received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold or four times." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he's also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save you and I. We were lost, and he came for us. As we talk about being uncomfortably close, I don't know if any of you've ever had a friend, when they talk to you, they come uncomfortably close. I don't know if you've ever had a friend who comes uncomfortably close. You do? Okay. He says, "I do now, because I came uncomfortably close to him." If it's your wife, I know you're okay. All right. I used to have a colleague who, when he speaks to me, he will come uncomfortably close. So close that you feel like you have to just keep walking and walking and walking, and then you hit the wall. I actually literally had a friend like that, and a colleague like that. Don't you sometimes feel vulnerable when someone comes that close? They come into your space. Not only you feel uncomfortable, you feel vulnerable. It's like, why is this dude coming so close? They're like, yeah, in your face. But here's the good news. When Jesus comes uncomfortably close, it is for our own good. And he will not push you to the wall. I'm so grateful that Jesus will not push us to the wall. So as we look at this text, there's a couple of things that I want to bring to your attention that I believe God is speaking to us this morning. The first thing I see here is Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name. Did you realize in the text that we've read that nowhere it says that someone had to introduce Zacchaeus to Jesus? Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name. The second thing I see in this text that I want us to look at is that Jesus knew Zacchaeus' shortcomings. Pun intended. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' shortcomings. And God is going to minister to some people today who are unfortunately not gifted in certain areas. Jesus invaded Zacchaeus' space. That's the third thing that I want to look at. Let's look at the first thing. Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name. When we read verse 1 and 2, when Jesus entered Jericho, Jesus could have just gone to Jerusalem without having to pass through Jericho. But he went through Jericho because he knew there was an appointment with someone that he wanted to meet, and that person was Zacchaeus. Jesus was so intentional that Jesus decided, "I'm going to go through Jericho for that one person." Jesus cares about you. He cares about you. I like the fact that the Bible says that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and he was rich. The Bible is very clear that he was rich. So Jesus did not only come for the poor, he came for everyone, including the rich. Jesus loves rich people too. Amen. I think someone needs to hear that, because I know that we've only prayed and we've only spoken about how Jesus loves poor people, how he's there for them. Jesus loves everyone. Can I hear everyone? Can we all say everyone? Everyone. Jesus came for everyone. If you go to the Greek and the Hebrew to see what everyone means, you'll realize that everyone means everyone. If you go to the Greek and Hebrew and find the word all, you'll realize that there's no other revelation. All is all. Jesus came for all. When the Bible says, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, all means all. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Can I hear amen to that? I should have warned you where I come from. We preach. All right? If you don't preach with me, I'm going to scream more. Okay. So, Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name. But interesting, the Bible says he was a chief tax collector. The only time in Scripture it speaks about a chief tax collector is here. Why was it so important for them to say that he wasn't just a tax collector? He was the chief of tax collection. Man, the chief of SARS, God cares about them. You can see that I don't have such a nice relationship with SARS, but we love them. We have to pay our taxes, but they must also do the service, right? We want service delivery. Topic for another time. As Jesus was passing through Jericho, Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, was wealthy. He was chief tax collector. You wonder why was the tax collector wealthy? So in those days, there was a regulation like it is today that there's a certain percentage that goes to Caesar for tax. But the tax collectors were allowed to charge more, to add their own cut, their own piece over and above the regulation. Talk about institutionalized corruption. Institutionalized corruption, meaning that it was systematic corruption. It was allowed. I like how John Wesley puts it. He says, it's like complicated wickedness. Complicated wickedness. I'm coming close to South Africa now. What you see in South Africa is complicated wickedness. Where corruption is allowed, like it's normal to be corrupt. There's nothing wrong with being corrupt. And I want to pray today in the name of Jesus, we will destroy institutionalized corruption in Jesus' name. We see here Jesus went for Zacchaeus, even though he was a corrupt tax collector, a chief of sinners. He says, I'm coming for you. So our government leaders are not too hard for Jesus. He can change their hearts. I pray that the elections for 2024 will be a shift in the political station of our country. Will be a shift in the political environment of our country. Jesus came that complicated wickedness can be done with. Jesus intentionally goes into Jericho knowing that there's someone there who is seeking to see Jesus. Zacchaeus, the Bible says he was seeking to see Jesus. Jesus came close because Jesus wanted to prove a point that I care about you. I know you by name. You notice that when Jesus called him up from the tree, Jesus called him by name. He didn't say, oh, chief tax collector. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to spend a day and a night at your house. I care about you. Those who have ever had the sad experience of being called by someone else's name, don't worry, I've also been there. You know, because I travel a lot and then I meet different people, and some people think that they've seen me somewhere. You know, some people think that I look like Siviwe. Some of you, you know Siviwe, who preached at the Go Conference. He was also in the master's class with Pierre. So at the Go Conference, after Siviwe preached, people came to me. That was a great sermon. You know, I can just simply say, yeah, thank you. But normally, I graciously correct them. I say, no, I'm not Siviwe. And Siv says that some people go to him and they think that he's... I guess the haircut is not helping as well because we have the same hairstyle. But in moments like those, I want to minister to some people. In moments like those, I'm reminded people may mistake my name, mistake who am I, but Jesus never mistake me for who I am. Jesus knows me by name. He knows you by name. He cares so much that the Bible says he even knows the hair on your head. Jesus knows you by name. Tim Keller, if you can put up, oh, it's up there. He says, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. People know you, but they don't love you. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. I want to explain this. The first part says to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. It's like someone say, I love you, but they don't know who you really are. It's very easy to say to someone, I love you, but they don't know. But when they know who you really are and they still say, I love you, that's deep. That's why Tim Keller says, to be fully known and truly loved is a well lot more like heaven, like being loved by God. To be fully known and fully loved. The best analogy I can give is like marriage. In marriage, the person that you're married to, or maybe you're in a relationship, they get to know you. They know everything about you. They know even when you're stressing. They know when you're not happy. They know when you're grumpy. They know everything about you. I'm talking about my wife. She's not here. I'm just explaining. She knows everything about me. And yet she still chooses to love me. She knows everything. She fully knows me. I mean, she knows when I'm having bad days. Even my kids, I think they fully know me now because my youngest, Rory, I mentioned earlier on, one day I came from work. I was so tired. I was stressed and I was a little bit snappy with them. And then she went to mom crying. She says, Mom, I think Dad needs a nap. To be fully known and fully loved. So she didn't tell me. She went to mom and said, Mom, please tell dad he needs to go and take a nap. We will have a better dad. They know I take 10 minutes power naps, then I'm a better dad after that. 2 weeks ago, my wife went, she was away for about 5 days to the Church Planting Assessment Center. You know about it, where we assess people who are going to plant churches. So she was an assessor. She was away for 5 days. And it's not always great when the mothers go away. When the dads go away, it's okay. You know, like they know they will survive. But when the mother goes away, things don't always go well, you know. I think many, many years ago, I never forget the story, when Lindy was away, on the third day of eating takeaway, my daughter Zinzi said, Dad, I think we should buy a new mom. She was about 4 at the time. But where I'm going with this is when Lindy was away, she was busy working long hours. I was running the house solo. Day 3 was just a nightmare. One of the kids lost the cell phone. My son fell ill. Like, things were just not working out. And we were not talking much because she was busy. I was busy with the kids. Friday, she comes back home. I'm tired. She's tired. I feel like, take your kids. And she's like... which I've experienced before. When I'm traveling, I come home. She just says, take your kids. To be fully known and fully loved. So on Friday, I come home. And she also comes home. She's tired. I'm tired. And we're talking. And I see we're not connecting. We're missing each other. And I'm quite almost like reserved. I'm not opening up to how my week was. And she's opening up. She's telling me about her week. And then she starts asking me a question, how was your week? Because up to that point, I haven't told her that one of the kids nearly died. Well, my son was sick, but we survived. But Lindy pursued me because she noticed that I was not in a good place. She pursued me to the point where she wanted to know, how was my week? And I came up with a sentence that I believe will help you understand that she invaded my private space and it was for my good. It was good for me because it was after she asked me those questions, after she showed that she cares, I started also just feeling better. I started just bubbling up. I started also feeling the connection because she showed that she cares. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus cares for you. When he comes uncomfortably close to you, it's because he sees that you're not in a good place and he wants to lift you up. He cares. He comes uncomfortably close. He invades our private space for our own good. Jesus invades our private spaces for our own good. The second point I want to share with you this morning is Jesus knew Zacchaeus' shortcomings or weaknesses. You know, we read verse 3 to 4, it says, "And when he was seeking to see who Jesus was," this is Zacchaeus, "but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way." It is interesting that we hear about Zacchaeus' disadvantage because he was short, he was of small stature, he was not able to see Jesus among the crowds that were there. And what is encouraging me is it doesn't matter the disadvantages that I have, Jesus will make a way to connect with me. Jesus knew that there was a man there who was short, who was not able to see, who was not able to get to him. But Jesus had already planned that I'm going to make a way to get to him. He knew that there was a man there who wanted to have an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus made a way. You know, if I was to put it in a different way, Zacchaeus was seeking to see Jesus. He was eager. But because of his circumstances, he was not able to see Jesus. Maybe some of you are here today and there are certain circumstances that are preventing you from seeing Jesus. Maybe you're here today, there are certain things in your life that are preventing you from seeing Jesus. It could be excuses. It could be sin in your life. It could be that you're not happy with yourself. Even in coming in a place of worship, you are not completely opening up your heart to Jesus. It could be that you have a victim mentality. It could be even your physical appearance, like Zacchaeus. Jesus cares. Zacchaeus was despised. He was a thief. He was an unjust tax collector. He had become wealthy at the expense of other people. He was an oppressor, but Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. Jesus died for him. We need to have an attitude that we will not allow anything to create a barrier between us and Jesus. Let us not allow excuses, circumstances, physical appearance, whatever it is, to prevent us from having an encounter with Jesus. We read about the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She knew that when I can touch him, I will be healed. I will be healed. Let's not have excuses. Because Jesus already knew Zacchaeus' limitations, he had already made a plan. Nothing can hinder us from encountering Jesus. Nothing should hinder us from encountering Jesus. You know, the best way I can describe it to you is this. As you can see, as I talk a lot about my kids, I've learned so much about my relationship with God through my kids. I've learned so much with how sometimes I can be grumpy. They still love me. And I've also learned how they can make so many mistakes and I still love them because that's the heart of the Father. So many, many years ago when my daughter Zinzi was about 4 or 5 years old, we lived in our old house and this house had 2 gates. The one gate was remote controlled and the second gate had a lock. We were trying to prevent them from even getting to the swimming pool. So the one day I come back from work, I go through the first gate, I get to the second gate, and I realize I don't have the key for the lock to get to the house. And then I come out of the car, and then Zinzi sees me. She comes out of the house, and she comes to me. But now there's a gate, there's a barrier between Zinzi and myself. And she starts crying, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." She wants to get to me. I want to get to her. And I was not able to get to her. She's not able to get to me. And guess what I did? Like a good father will do, I jumped the gate. I jumped the gate. I said, "This gate is not going to stop me from getting to my daughter." And then I had a revelation. revelation that Jesus jumped the gate for you and I. Jesus jumped the gate so that there will not be a barrier between you and I. You can only imagine by jumping the gate if the police passed by. This is Joburg. I might have been arrested thinking that I'm breaking in. But the powerful revelation for me is Jesus will not let anything be a barrier. That's why he died on the cross. He died for Zacchaeus. He died for him. Whatever it takes, like Zacchaeus' attitude, like even climbing the trees, like whatever it takes for me to see Jesus. If only I can see Jesus. We don't realize how privileged we are. We open this word. This word is Jesus. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. John 1 verse 1. So when we open this word, we see Jesus. When you go and have your devotion, don't do it as a tick box. Do it as, I'm meeting with Jesus. I'm coming to have an appointment with Jesus. He's my best connector to the Father. So when you read the word, unlike Zacchaeus who had to climb a tree, you are meeting with Jesus in this word. Let's approach the word differently. Whatever it takes, attitude. Because we realize that even when you read the word, Jesus is invading our private space for our good. When you read this word and it transforms you, it washes you. I don't know about you. There are times when I feel depressed. There are times when I feel down because of the state of our nation. But when I go to the word, I just read one chapter. There's an upliftment that happens. There's something that happens I cannot explain when I read this word. And when I'm not in the word, I'm missing on seeing Jesus. The last point I want to talk about is Jesus invaded Zacchaeus' space. Many people today are avoiding Jesus because they don't want him to invade their private space. A lot of people who don't want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives is because, like, Jesus, you can come up to here, but not too close. Said to say that some believers also say, Jesus, you can come close, but not too close. Even us Christians, we say, Jesus, you can come close, but not too close. What does that mean? It means that there's certain areas of your life that are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's certain areas of your life that you say, well, Jesus, me and my wife, family, children, fine, but finances, I'll take care of this. Maybe there's certain areas of your life, like work, maybe you say, Jesus, yes, you can be with me, with the family, in all these things, but my work, I've got this. I've studied. I went to university. I'm good. I've got this. Because we know that when Jesus comes close, there's certain things he expects of us. Integrity. He expects us to treat our wives, our spouses, with integrity, with love, the way that he will treat them. When Jesus came to the place, verse 5 and 6, and he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry. There was a sense of urgency. Come down, for I must stay at your house today. I love how Jesus says today. There's a cultural dynamic there. I don't know if you see it. Imagine someone just shows up, like I come from Joburg, and say, Joe, I'm going to stay at your house today. I don't care what you say. I'm coming to stay at your house. It's a cultural thing there. You know, like Asians, Africans, Middle Easterns, you know, I can just say to Pierre, I'm coming to your house today. I don't know whether you've got plans or whatever. I'm coming to your house. The best way to describe it, when I joined Every Nation, it was called His People many years ago. Roger, Pastor Roger, most of you know, we're good friends. I was waiting for Roger to offer to come to my house to say, I'm going to come and visit you. Because in the African culture, you wait for people to say, I'm going to come and see you, to see your house, to visit you. The opposite in the Western culture, which I call cold climate cultures, you invite people to your house. Cold climate cultures, I've worked in Germany, you know, like when you get into the lift, you don't greet people. So in Germany, when I worked there, I was the only one. I get into the lift, hi! They were surprised, this dude, where is he from? So in the Western culture, you invite people to your house. So here's Simon. I'm waiting for Roger to invite me. And yet the confusion that happened there is that he's also waiting for me to invite him to my house. So we never go to each other's homes. Now, let's just clarify it once and for all. Whatever culture that you are, ons moet keer. We need to visit each other, whatever culture it is. It doesn't matter how you do it, whether you invite the people or they offer to come to you, you just have to make it work. Right? So what we decided was we're not going to wait for the invitation. So once a month, lunchtime, I'm going to Roger's house. I invite myself. The Lord will multiply the food. Mary, Nicholas' mom knows the story. And then once a month, they come to my house. We just had to put in the calendar because it's important to get into each other's homes. Where am I going with this? It's important to realize that you don't fully know a person until you've been to their home, until you get into their space, until you understand how they live at home, how they treat their children, how they treat each other. Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. There's a cultural dynamic there. Jesus came for the poor, the wealthy. He came for everyone. I like to share the story of Michael Pederis. You know Michael Pederis. He's a good friend. We've known each other. He's missions director for Every Nation in Manila in the Philippines. I was also missions director, so we got to know each other. He visited my house. He came here when he was in South Africa. And every time I'm in Manila in the Philippines, I've never been to his house. So last year when we were in Manila, I got to go to his house. Then I realized that these people, they like their rice, hey? They eat rice, breakfast, lunch, and supper. You know, like, you think that we like our pap. That's another level there. I tell you, I don't think I knew Michael until I stepped into his house. What happened was, I got to understand, over 20 years we've known each other. I didn't know that he was the only child. Then we come to his house. He says, I inherited this home from my parents because I was the only child. And taking me through the house, how they renovated the house. And I felt like I now know Michael because I've been to his house. I saw how he treats his children. I saw how he loves on his wife. I felt like I know him. Now, some of us, we don't open our homes to Jesus. We keep him at the gate. We don't want him to see what happens in our homes. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today I'm coming to your house. I like the fact that the Bible says, Zacchaeus welcomed him joyfully. He says, please come, Master. Jesus is inviting himself to your heart. When we read the Bible, it says he's knocking at your door. He's inviting himself to your heart. We're going to welcome the band to come just now. I'm going to share a few things before the band leads us in worship. Some people said, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. I believe God is challenging us, all of us today, that we need to pray for our neighbors. We need to pray for our neighbors. We need to get into our neighbors' homes and love on them and show them the love of Jesus. Jesus was doing that. He knew that people will grumble. People will say, he's going to a sinner's house, but he was willing to go to a sinner's house. I've seen the power of praying for neighbors. I've been praying for my neighbors, and my neighbors on the left started coming to church, and they gave their lives to Jesus, and they are now serving the Lord because we prayed for them. My neighbors on the right, they're agnostics. The husband is an agnostic. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. But then we had a child dedication coming up. And then we offer them, would you like to dedicate your child to the Lord? The wife was keen. The husband says, I'll do it for the sake of my parents. And last week Sunday, they came to church. Praise God that he is a friend of sinners. We can be friends of sinners. And through our love, I mean, this guy, since they moved next door to us, we've just been loving on them, loving on them, loving on them. Now they are coming to church. The Pharisees rebuked Jesus for eating with the sinners. And Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who needs the doctor, but the sick. It is not the healthy who needs the doctor, but the sick. Jesus broke down the barriers to get to Zacchaeus. We need to do the same. When Jesus enters your private space, there's transformation that takes place. Let me read for you verse 8. The transformation that took place in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. I restore it four times. If I've done anything wrong, because Jesus has come to my house, I need to be a man of justice. I need to correct the wrongs. I need to right the wrongs. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to your house. That's the whole thing about when you let Jesus into your private space. There's certain things that you'll have to clean because he does it for our good. It is for our good. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I love the fact that Zacchaeus thought that he was seeking Jesus, but actually Jesus was seeking him first. Jesus was going after him. Zacchaeus thought, I'm going after Jesus, but Jesus was seeking him first. The same way as you read Luke 15, it speaks about the lost coin, the lost sheep. The Bible says he will leave the 99 and go for the one. Jesus invades our private space for our good. So let's look at these three things that we have been talking about. Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name. Jesus knows you by name. He cares for you. He cares for you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be all that he's called you to be. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' shortcomings and weaknesses. Jesus knows our weaknesses. I'm glad for him to come into my private space because he will help me do better, like he did for Zacchaeus. Jesus invaded Zacchaeus' space. When Jesus invades our space, it's so that he can save us from ourselves sometimes. He saves us from ourselves. Revelation 3:20, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him. Shall we all stand? Jesus is knocking at your door. He's knocking at your door. Maybe you're not a Christian yet. Maybe you're not a believer yet. He's knocking at your door. Maybe you were a believer and you walked away. He's knocking at your door. He's knocking. He said, I want to come close. I want to invade your space, but it's for your good that I invade your space. Jesus is saying that I broke the barrier for you. Please put up on the slide what the gospel is. Look at what Jesus did for us. This is the gospel. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived a life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he's the Son of God and offering a gift of salvation to those who repent and believe in him. Let's bow our heads. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, this is the message of the gospel. God came through Jesus Christ and he became man. He became man to break the barrier. The Bible says that when he died, he broke down the curtain so that people like Zacchaeus, people like myself, you and I, can be able to enter the Holy of Holies, to enter the presence of God. So I want to pray for some of you this morning. The first group of people I want to pray for is you are here and you know that you are far from Jesus. You're almost like Zacchaeus. You can identify with what I've been talking about this morning. That you may have let circumstances and excuses and shortcomings prevent you from connecting with Jesus. And maybe you've walked away from a relationship with Jesus, or you've never had a relationship with Jesus. I want to just challenge you to raise your hand wherever you are so I can pray with you to say, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to come back to a relationship with Jesus. Just raise your right hand if you can. I want to pray with you. If you want to have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've walked away from Jesus, just raise your hand and say, like Zacchaeus, I want to have an encounter with Jesus. If you are here, just raise your hand. Thank you. If you are here, just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The second group of people I want to pray for. Maybe you have allowed the stresses of this world to quench the relationship you should be having with Jesus. Maybe you're feeling cold. Maybe you're feeling like you're not connecting through worship. Or maybe there are certain areas of your life that are not under the Lordship of Jesus. We're going to sing a song, I Surrender All to Jesus. And then I'm going to ask you to raise both your hands to heaven and say, Jesus, I surrender all. If you fall under the category, say, I want to just come close to Jesus. Raise both your hands. I want to pray for you. We're going to sing a song. Lord, you see all their hands that are raised today, Lord God. You see their hands that are saying, Lord, I surrender all. I want to come closer to you. I don't want to allow anything to be between me and you, Father. Just raise both your hands. Father, you see these hands, Lord God, as they come close to you, Lord God. Minister your love. Minister your love. Minister your love like you did to Zacchaeus, Lord God. So they know that you love them, Father. You care for them, Father. You know them by name. Jesus says, I love you. 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 And I know you by name. Some of you needs to hear that today. That his love is unconditional. He doesn't want you to fix yourself first. He's coming close to you to save you. Coming close to you to minister his love to you. So the whole congregation, we're going to sing now, I Surrender All. And then when you finish singing the song, Pierre will take over from here. But let's just surrender it all to the Lord.